say that on April 6th, that we're going to use tactical nuclear weapons to take out the Iranian nuclear industry. We're going to attack.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Links to Russian websites, Italian websites, German websites, French websites. So the rest of the world is having a debate about this, and we in the United States don't even know about it.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Harley Carnes. Just 5 years down the road, all new vehicles will have computers and sensors that keep you from losing control of the vehicle.
Will you let the secretary get in?
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters checking out a Saturn View SUV here at the New York Auto Show, a vehicle now less prone to rollovers because it has stability control. Under the new rules, by the 2012 model year, all vehicles will need to have this technology.
What this means for consumers in the auto industry is that vehicles are even safer today than they have been.
By some estimates, these new rules could save thousands of lives each year. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, New York.
The grand coming home for 15 British sailors and Marines, all hugs and tears of happy relief. What a day.
I just feel so wonderful. I have prayed for this day.
And now that they're back, we're learning more about what it was like for them in custody.
The commander here at the base has said that various times some members of the group were kept on their own. That was as far as he would go with that. But interestingly, he was hinting that once they've had their medicals and been thoroughly debriefed tomorrow, there is the opportunity. We think that they will actually, some of these sailors and Marines will talk to the media.
Sky News reporter Dan McClure there. The captain of the crew before the capture had told Sky News intelligence was part of their job in that waterway. The California Medical Board is investigating the doctor who prescribed all those pills to Anna Nicole Smith. There were 11 prescription medications found in her hotel room, and one doctor, Christine Irashevich, wrote all of those scripts, and the doctor had traveled with Anna Nicole to Florida, where she died. The medical board only confirms it is investigating. Two suspects are in custody, another believed to be hiding in New Jersey's woods near a bank in Reddington, where gunplay this morning left an FBI agent shot dead. It is the first time the Bureau has ever lost an agent in New Jersey.
Officers are still diverting traffic away from the area after this morning's deadly shootout across from a PNC bank branch. An FBI agent was killed in the gunfire. Two suspects are in custody, while state police say they're looking for one more.
That's WCBS reporter Levon Putney. FBI agents arrived at that bank as part of their investigation into a string of recent robberies, only to meet the armed bandits on their way out. A new study says high deductibles on health plans are not fair to many women because women need more routine medical exams.
The main point is that it's a financial burden for people that have chronic health care conditions, and women in particular, as they age, are more likely to have certain types of chronic health care conditions.
Ken Thorpe at Emory University says on average women spend more than twice as much as men because they go to the doctor more often. The solution, says study author Dr. Steffi Wohandler.
Every other developed nation uses some form of national health insurance.
On Wall Street, the Dow up nearly about 30 points. The Nasdaq gained 12 on the day. This is CBS News.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take on Orbitz, the travel game where you could save $100 on your next hotel stay. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com during the Plan Your Escape hotel sale and save $100 on 5 nights at select hotels nearly anywhere in the world. So if work is wearing you out or your neighbors are driving you nutty, plan your escape and pick your hotel right now at Orbitz.com.
Save $100 off 5+ nights on select hotels. Valid for travel May 1st through December 20th. Book by April 30th, 2007. See site for terms and conditions.
The NCAA champion Florida Gators are losing some of their big teeth.
The coach is staying.
For me, this is, I'm happy and I'm sad.
Billy Donovan's 4-star juniors are leaving.
they've made a decision to forego their senior years and enter the NBA draft.
Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Taurean Green, and Corey Brewer were the heart and soul of the Gators' back-to-back championships. The coach was Kentucky's first choice to replace Tubby Smith, but Donovan says he decided to stay after talking with his family and Florida's athletic director. Now, just days after winning it all, he has to rebuild. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In China, police say a woman reached just a little bit too far out of her sixth-floor window to hang laundry on the line between the buildings and fell. So happened that workers were emptying the building's septic tank down below, which had not been tended in quite a long, badly blocked time. She landed in an 8-inch thick pile of what came out of the pipes, which saved her life, just a broken leg. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Steeler takes two and a glass of Corbett.
Canyon. Corbett, it's been years.
It's gotten great reviews.
Yeah, and Corbett has this new twist-off closure, so every glass is perfect.
Mm, incredible Cabernet.
And a Chardonnay for me.
Sure, still have Corbett's premium wine cask from our last game. After it's open, keeps wine fresh for 6 weeks.
Won't be here that long. Nothing beats this Cabernet or my Royal Flush.
Corbett Canyon. One great taste, two convenient choices. The new twist-off closure and the premium wine cask. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
My Subway sandwich is fresh toasted with olives and green peppers, but no onions.
Down here in Eforce, my Subway sandwich has pickles on it.
My Subway sandwich is a sprinkle of onions, but not too much.
What do I like on my Subway sandwich? Check it out.
Want something simple and delicious? Then try the tuna sandwich at Subway restaurants. Enjoy it on freshly baked bread with your choice of fresh ingredients. Pick one up today.
My Subway sandwich is made 14 stories down. They call me Mr. Double Meat. Subway, eat fresh.
Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a Thursday edition, and I'm glad you found us. And my free advice today is take great caution if you have the urge to clean up your personal workspace. I decided that the pile of news clippings here on my radio console had just gotten too thick, and I cleaned it up today. And in doing so, I accidentally flipped a switch, and when I first tried to talk here, my microphone wasn't working. And now I can't find any of those clippings that I really, really, really wanted for today's show. I think we'll be okay. Coming up in about a half an hour, we're going to dial up Damascus, Syria. Our man in the Middle East, Dar Jamil, is right there in Syria. And we'll get his first-person account of Nancy Pelosi's traitorous visit there. I'm sorry, I don't believe it was traitorous, but I've just been hearing those Republican talking points ad nauseum. Dar Jamil also give us his views on the situation in Iraq these days and John McCain's stroll in the Georgia marketplace, where within 24 hours another attack occurred and 21 Iraqis died. Now that's a photo op, isn't it? As usual, next hour we'll visit with Scott Dick. He served in the Marines, retired from the Army as a major. He helps explain those convoluted acronyms to me, and he'll give us his update on military and veterans issues. That's coming up next hour. Then in the free speed zone, we'll be taking your calls, as usual, any subject, any viewpoint, and from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We've got a special caller today, musician Jesse Goplin from Eureka. He's going to check in, and we'll play the song that he customized for me. He knows how to get a radio guy to play his music, and we like to support our local musicians. So Jesse will check in and invite you to a gig tomorrow night if you're in the Eureka Arcata area. And there's lots of room for your phone calls now and in the free speech zone, so don't be shy and don't be cheap, because we pay for the call. So there's no excuse for you not to express yourself and join this conversation. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Faz Shakir joins us. He's the research director at the Center for American Progress and co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. You can get your copy free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org, and they'll send it to you. Hey, Faz, how are you?
Hey, Peter, I'm doing fine. I'm happy to be part of Peter B's America.
Well, you're an important part, Faz. And I appreciate the work you do and the contributions you make to this program. And there are also people out there who assist me in the dark of night. And I want to pull back the curtain here and expose how I learned about two of your posts at Think Progress this week. We have a mutual fan, and her name is Jean Ishenko, and she's in Toronto or somewhere near there in Canada. And she emails me 6 to 8 times a day with things that she has found trolling on the Internet. And apparently she's a regular visitor to Think Progress because she picked up two of your pieces and referred them to me just in the last 24 hours.
That's good to hear. You know, we have quite a few fans of our own, and so I'm glad they're sending our stuff around and trying to get more eyes on it.
Yeah, it's that viral thing that you count on.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and I'm glad people like it.
First up, you posted an item today with a fresh soundbite from Dick Cheney and his father confessor, Rush Limbaugh.
Cheney had an interview with Rush Limbaugh today.
Yeah, the real challenging, hostile environment.
Yeah, exactly. A very confrontational interview. Very difficult for Dick Cheney to go into such a hostile environment. And so, they talked about the House Armed Services Committee to decision to drop use of the word war on terror.
You mean GWAT?
That's right. You've been following this, I
think.
And so, the right wing has been very upset about the decision to drop the use of GWAT, and they've been on the attack. The RNC put out a release yesterday. Today, Vice President Cheney goes on Rush Limbaugh to declare that the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Ike Skelton, was, quote, dead wrong in making this decision, and that he exhibited flawed thinking in doing so. And we pointed out that, in fact, President Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, General Richard Myers are amongst many who have said that the war on terror has been misnamed.
Well, and
argued that it should be described in some other way.
Faz, that was one of the few honest moments of Rumsfeld after he was sacked last November, and it's one of the few points of agreement that I have with the former Secretary of Defense.
Me too.
Global war on terror is a terrible term. It doesn't mean what it should, and it's... It really is not a helpful term to use, and I can't imagine that the Republicans are so wedded to it. Well, let's listen to Rush rough up the vice president on this subject.
Yesterday, I read that Ike Skelton, who chairs, I forget the name of the committee.
Armed Services, Rush.
The next defense appropriations
get a producer.
Fiscal 08 is going to actually remove the phrase global war on terror, because they don't think it's applicable. They want to refer to conflicts as individual skirmishes, but they're going to try to rid the defense appropriation bill and thus official government language of that term. Does that give you any indication of their motivation or what they think of the current plight in which the country finds itself?
Sure. Well, it's just flawed thinking. I like Ike Skelton. I worked closely with Ike when I was Secretary of Defense. He's chairman of the Armed Services Committee now. Ike's a good man. He's just dead wrong about this. Think about, just to give you one example, Rush. Remember Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, Jordanian terrorist, al-Qaeda affiliate, ran a training camp in Afghanistan for al-Qaeda, then migrated after we went into Afghanistan and shut him down there. He went to Baghdad, took up residence there before we ever launched into Iraq, organized the al-Qaeda operations inside Iraq.
Now, Faz, before we listen to more from the vice president, that isn't factually correct, is it?
That's right. We actually debunked that portion of his remarks, and we talked about the fact that this has been part of his ongoing efforts to link Iraq to 9/11 and the events of 9/11, and he's done it largely through this Zarqawi link. And we talked about how the Senate Intelligence Committee just last year released parts of the long-awaited Phase 2 pre-war intelligence report. And in that report, they said that, quote, Saddam Hussein attempted unsuccessfully to locate and capture al-Zarqawi, and that the regime did not have a relationship with, harbor, or turn a blind eye towards Zarqawi. So it was clear from the intelligence analysis that Saddam had no relationship with Zarqawi and was actually trying to get out and get him.
And this is guilt by location.
Largely, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
All right, more of Dick Cheney and Rush.
Before we even arrived on the scene, and then, of course, led the charge for Iraq until we killed him last June. He's the guy who arranged the bombing of the Samarra Mosque that precipitated the sectarian violence between Shia and Sunni.
Is that a proven allegation, Fez? Zarqawi and the mosque, the Golden Mosque?
It was news to me, you know, and I don't think that anyone's ever shown that he was involved in it or was even planning it. I think the most that the intelligence has said that was that Al-Qaeda associates were involved, and most have said that it was Sunni insurgents who may not even have any connection to Zarqawi altogether. So, yeah, it really came out of the blue. I'm not sure where that came from.
Yeah, we ought to put this guy on a lie detector.
This is Al-Qaeda operating in Iraq, and as I say, they were present before we invaded Iraq.
It's like, Faz, he hasn't read any intelligence reports since they shut down the Office of Special Plans that was spoon-feeding him the stovepiped information he wanted to hear.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it doesn't matter how many people have come out and said that there was no link between Iraq and, at least no operational link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. It just doesn't matter to Vice President Cheney because he's got it stuck in his head and it's not leaving there.
I think maybe the problem is ever since Scooter left, nobody's willing to actually feed him fresh information, and so he just hangs on to the old stuff. Now, Faz, you also posted an item that Gene in Toronto forwarded to me about the potential involvement of the Vice President in the plea bargain of David Hicks, who finally last Friday had his case resolved. He was sentenced to 9 months. A bizarre gag order was imposed, and he's going to get to serve out the rest of his sentence in Australia, where he will be released sometime next year. And you indicate here that Vice President Cheney had a direct role in this?
Well, that's right. That's what it sounds like. Let me first say that it seems that Jean in Toronto is really tracking the Cheney news pretty closely, huh?
Oh, yeah. She follows it. Mm-hmm.
That's the allegation here, is that Vice President Cheney visited Australia in February, and John Howard, the Australian Prime Minister, personally conveyed to him how important it was that David Hicks go to trial and then ultimately be sent to Australia. And, you know, Cheney had presumably said something along the lines of, I'll do what I can for you. And so then we learn last week that he's sentenced, the first person to be sentenced in Guantanamo, and it was in very rapid fashion.
Mm-hmm.
He was sentenced to a very light sentence, only 9 months, and he was sentenced without the prosecution having a role in the sentencing, which is very odd as well. They weren't a party to the whole decision making, and it was done by a lady named Susan Crawford, who was the presiding judge over this. And she worked in the Inspector General's office in the Pentagon under Cheney. So the links to Cheney are pretty clear. In fact, there's a number of reports out there that Crawford is a big Republican insider who has a pretty close relationship with Cheney.
Now, you know, what lefties like us just don't appreciate, Faz, is the brilliance and beauty of the Gitmo thing. Because, hey, the law is what Cheney says it is. The Constitution applies only if he's feeling really good that day. We'll take a break and return with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Get your copy. Log on to progressreport.org. More after this break, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112.
12. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Show.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there, without care, yeah, I was out of touch.
Coming up about 10 minutes from now, we'll dial into Damascus, Syria, get a live report from Dar Jamail about Nancy Pelosi and the delegation's visit with President Bashar Assad.
Does that make me crazy?
We continue now with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. And Faz, during the break, opened up the email here. And the latest from Gene in Toronto includes Carl Levin releases new declassified Pentagon Inspector General report, FDA to defy Congress by closing food safety test labs, Giuliani's brand of authoritarianism, favoritism shown toward Wolfowitz's girlfriend. So she's not a one-note samba.
It's more than Cheney.
Yes. Well, and more than the Progress Report.
More than Think
and
Progress.
Think Progress, yeah. One other item about David Hicks. This was buried, a little squib, in the international blurb section of the New York Times today. It reads, U.S. detainee may be able to speak to news media. Australia's Attorney General Philip Ruddock said David Hicks, who's been held at Gitmo for 5 years, may be free to speak to the news media once he returns home to Australia. And Ruddock says such a gag order may not hold up in Australia.
So that's a very interesting wrinkle, and that is, to me, as offensive as the way they required him to sign a statement saying that he hadn't been tortured.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of, there were a lot, I mean, it's one of those cases, like the U.S. Attorney's case that we went through, the scandal for the past month, which will continue once Congress goes back into session.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole issue was, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, you just smelled that there was something very fishy there, and sure enough, there was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same is same case is here too, in that, you know, the more you learn about this case, you're like, this just doesn't pass the smell test. You know, they put in this gag order, they sentenced him to 9 months. They claim that he's this big time Al Qaeda convict, and then of course they torture him and then say he can't talk about the torture and force him to tell the public that, you know, he wasn't tortured. Dick Cheney goes there and presses for his release behind the scenes. There's just a lot of things that make this the make Gitmo the kangaroo court that it is.
Yeah, and, you know, on top of that, we have this guy who signed a confession that he helped to bomb the USS Cole, and he said, yeah, I told him what they wanted to hear. They were delighted. They couldn't even tell I was lying.
Yeah, and there were great reports, by the way, about that, saying that, you know, by him coming out, I forget the gentleman's name, was...
I cleaned up my notes, so I can't find it. It's Nashiri or something.
I'll call it all something.
Yeah.
Anyways, but he came out and confessed to all these crimes, which then made it very hard to go out and prosecute the others who might have actually been involved in them, because now they can claim, no, I wasn't involved. That guy already took responsibility for it. So it actually hurt the situation more than it helped.
Yeah. Let's jump to another topic. Here in the season of Passover and Easter, the president's really feeling conciliatory, so he poked the Democrats in the eye three times with recess appointments, including this guy Sam Fox, who helped fund the Swift Boat attacks on John Kerry.
Yep, big-time Republican donor out there in Missouri. Rush actually asked Dick Cheney about that today as well, and we just posted the audio of that as well on Think Progress. And what's interesting about how Rush posed that question is he said to Vice President Cheney, don't you believe the Senate committee was acting in a Stalinist manner? And he says, and Rush Limbaugh says, I don't know if you would buy that characterization or not. And sure enough, Dick Cheney says, no, Rush, you're dead on with that. You know, they were acting in a Stalinist way.
Yeah, and their dealings with Monica Goodling are compared to Joe McCarthy.
Now, exactly.
That.
Very fair point. Yeah, exactly. They're shutting her up and won't let her talk. But, yeah, and how is a free speech issue involved here? I mean, clearly the Senate can say that there is a certain individual who we don't believe is fit for an ambassadorial post, and we're going to oppose him, and that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the people he named is in a recess appointment is a Democrat named Carol Waller-Pope to the Federal Labor Relations Authority. Do you know anything about that?
No, I know that there's a lot of groups that are opposed to her, and I haven't really dug into her record. I've dug in a little bit more on the other one, who's
Susan Dudley. Yeah.
Right, who's the big regulatory czar who thinks that regulations are a tax. So she doesn't actually want to regulate any businesses. And, of course, just like as we did with John Bolton, we put in the person at the top position who doesn't actually believe in the position.
Yeah, I call that the wrecking crew.
That's right.
And they're keeping it fully staffed all the way through January of 2009. Faz, also, you give great coverage today to the amazing success in the courts that environmental groups have had over the last few weeks, culminating in the Supreme Court decision on Monday, affirming that the EPA does, in fact, have the legal authority to regulate emissions that contribute to greenhouse gas effects.
Yeah, and that carbon dioxide is one of those, which, of course, the Bush administration has pushed back forever and ever, saying that we're not sure it's actually contributing to global warming. It's a slap in the face of the Bush administration, but it's also a stamp of approval that the court is on the side of science here. And I think the disappointing thing coming out of that was that there were four justices who are there and ready and willing to overturn this. So, I mean, the balance on the court is very, very tenuous right now, but fortunately we won this one.
Yeah, and Roberts and Alito are performing at or above the expectations
That's
of
right.
the Republicans. Thank you, Faz. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. ProgressReport.org is where you can log on and get that report. Dar Jamail will join us live from Damascus. If the phones are working, that's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Coming up next hour, it's our weekly visit with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. We got a lot to talk about with Scott coming up next hour, including, of course, John McCain's stroll in the marketplace in Baghdad and the carnage that occurred just a day later. Also on today's show, musician Jesse Goplin is going to check in from Eureka in the free speed zone in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll play some of his tunes and talk to him about what's going on up there. And right now we're trying to connect with Dar Jamail in Damascus, Syria. We're having a little trouble. We think we didn't have quite enough digits in the phone number, and we're double-checking that. So Brian Urban is on the horn right now trying to get through to Syria, where it's 11:30 in the evening. And if we do connect with Dar, we're pleased that he would stay up late to bring us some new information. So that's what's going on here. And we do have the right phone number. Apparently the circuits are a little bit busy, and so we are currently trying to connect up with Dar, and we'll keep doing that. In the meantime, you're welcome to call in if you have a comment or you just want to talk with me about issues in the news. My number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And one of the things that I want to talk with Dar Jamail about is the report that Syria played a role in the return of Britain's 15... I was about to say hostages, but they were captives by Iran. They were there for about 10 days, and they're now in British custody. I don't know if they've actually returned to the island of Great Britain, but that episode appears to be behind us. And there's a great op-ed in today's New York Times, co-written by Vali Nasser, who's a professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. And in it, they talk about how this situation, this conflict with Iran, between Iran and Britain, was resolved primarily using diplomatic methods. The timing of the Britons' capture was no accident. The incident followed the passage of a UN resolution censuring Iran for its nuclear infractions, the dispatch of American aircraft carriers to the Persian Gulf, and the American sanctioning of Iranian banks. Although the Bush administration has been busy proclaiming its increasingly confrontational Iran policy a success, Tehran's unsubtle conduct in the Persian Gulf suggests otherwise. Had the British followed the American example, once the sailors and Marines were seized, they could have escalated the conflict by pursuing the matter more forcefully at the UN or sending additional naval vessels to the area. Instead, the British tempered their rhetoric and insisted that diplomacy was the only means of resolving the conflict. The Iranians received this as pragmatism on London's part and responded in kind. Now, you can argue that Britain, as a, not quite a superpower, but a major power, blinked and permitted its sailors to apologize to Iran for trespassing, crossing their murky border there in the Shatt al-Arab waterway. It's kind of a big river. And, you know, you can also argue that Britain is in the shadow of the United States and so in many respects couldn't take independent action even if they had wanted to. But putting aside those issues, and I'm not dismissing them, I'm just putting them aside, I believe that Iran has used this episode to send a powerful message. And it won't be popular with the thick-headed neocons in Washington, because it requires a bit of humility. What I mean by that is that Iran used this episode as a kind of educational experiment to try to teach us in the West how to deal with Iran. Now, you can say there's a cooked-up event, they provoked it, and then they resolved it. And all that's true. But what I think is interesting here is Iran is trying to send a message to the world that if you confront us, we'll get our backs up, and we'll show that we can be as stubborn and stupid as anybody else. But if you treat us with respect and use diplomacy instead of muscle, well, you might get what you want from us. And I appreciate Professor Nasser's commentary. He co-wrote it with Ray Takei, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. And I recommend it to you. It is in today's New York Times on the op-ed page.
A little more from it. The U.S. faces a stark choice. It'll have to either escalate its confrontational policy or adopt a policy of engagement. Far from arresting the Iranian danger, escalation would most likely present the United States with new perils. Given the balance of power in the region, a continued confrontational course with Iran would saddle the United States with a commitment to stay in the Persian Gulf indefinitely and deploying to other conflict areas in an environment of growing radicalism. It would place the United States at the heart of the region's conflicts, leaving it all the more vulnerable to ideological extremism and terrorism at home and abroad. Beyond such concerns, a continued policy of confrontation will also complicate America's Iraq policy. Just as Iraqi Sunnis have cultural and political ties with Sunni Arab states and look to them for support, Iraqi Shiites trust and depend on Iran. An Iraq policy that allies the United States with Sunni Arab governments to eliminate Iranian influence in Iraq will be construed as biased against the Shiites. Such a policy will not win the support of the Shiite-dominated government, on which the success of the new American strategy depends. Now, these are powerful, rational arguments based on an understanding of the subtleties and the cultural differences between these various groups in Iraq, Iran, and other parts of the Middle East. And you don't see that from the policies and pronouncements of the Bush administration. So I'm hoping that that is a lesson that will be gleaned and embraced. And as you know, we shared with you last week the report, which we have been unable to corroborate, and which I still offer not as fact, but simply as a report that you can analyze for yourself. The Russian news media and a journalist there, based on Russian reports, said that tomorrow is a day when the United States has scheduled attacks on Iran. And as I've told you, I've been unable to corroborate it, and I have conflicting opinions, particularly from Sam Gardner, the retired Air Force colonel, who told us that he doesn't think this is true and that he doesn't think that we have the pieces in place to launch such an assault tomorrow, if that is the intention of the Bush administration. So I don't have a prediction on what we will wake up to tomorrow. I hope that we will not hear of a new military confrontation initiated by the United States, but then we wouldn't be shocked, would we, if it did occur. Also, next hour, when Scott Dick joins us, he'll share his view. When I told him about this document that I got over the Internet and the report about an alleged Operation Bite, he told me, he said, well, Peter, you know, that raises suspicions right away. He said the Pentagon policy is that code names for operations have at least two words. And that they, he'll tell us, but I think they're generated by some random computer program that brings up pairs of words, and then they choose from the lists that are generated. So, again, I don't have an investment. In fact, I want this report about Operation Bite to be 100% wrong. But as I've told you, I feel it's my obligation to share what I do know and treat you as intelligent people who can decide for yourselves. Yes, you can think for yourself about what is accurate and what doesn't measure up to your own standards of credibility. So we're having trouble getting through to Damascus. I'm not sure we're going to be able to talk to Dar Jamil today. So I want to open up the phone lines for you right now. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Maybe you want to talk about the this incident between Iran and Britain, which is now, we hope, behind us. Perhaps you'd like to talk about the comments that Faz Shakir and I offered about Dick Cheney's love fest with Rush Limbaugh today, and the fact that he is still hung up on that phrase, global war on terror. I mean, even Don Rumsfeld, as Faz and I were pointing out, in November, after he was fired from the Pentagon, but in fact he hasn't left. He still has an office there with six staffers, we are told. Rumsfeld went public and said, well, you know, one regret I have is that global war on terror name. And he went into a lengthy explanation that it's misleading, that, of course, terror is not the enemy. Terror is a tactic. And I think we do have a war on Al-Qaeda. I think that you could expand that to a war on Islamic extremists, Islamic radicals. But I think that phrase does not serve us well. And I'd love to see it thrown in the dustbin of history along with homeland security. I'm not sure about you, but every time I hear that phrase, referring to the government department that's supposed to protect our borders and our domestic tranquility, it just makes my skin crawl. I hate that line, homeland security. I also don't like global war on terror. So those are the couple of things you could comment on. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. We'll keep trying to get through to Darja Mail in Damascus, but we're not optimistic about that at this point. The circuits just don't seem to be cooperating today. So why don't you check our phones, give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, and at least we'll know those are working, 888-573-8372. We'll take a break and return right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, will be on the show. If you're looking for wealth building strategies, buying ahead of the curve, and buying below the market in real estate, this is the show for you. That's this Sunday morning at 10. Your number one choice for all your real estate needs, Rock Roller Real Estate. Brought to you by IPX 1031. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testified lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending a military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women to me. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open if you'd like to call into the program right now, 888-5-PETER-B. We're attempting to reach Dar Jamail, reporter on the ground in Damascus, Syria, and the international circuits are not cooperating.
Every day is an endless train. You got to ride it to the end of the line. Be a troubleshooter, blow the bad luck away, and you will make it to your station on time. And you'll find out every trick in the book, and that there's only one way to get things done. You'll find out the only way to the top is looking out for number one. I mean, you keep looking out for number one.
My number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Jake's on the line from Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, PETER-B, how's it going?
Doing okay. We just can't get through to Damascus today.
Hey, you know that last song, Looking Out for Number One, that should be the Republican Party's theme song.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I'd just like to point out, there's an excellent column in today's Time Standard, which is the Eureka paper.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody listen to Humboldt County. It's David Cobb, of course, who was the Green Party's presidential candidate in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
He has a weekly column in the paper, and this column's outstanding. I was wondering if I could read a few paragraphs for the listeners.
I happen to have time.
Okay, great. Well, it's called, If You're for Peace, You Don't Vote for War. In the last general election, the American people rejected the failed policies of the Bush administration, and especially the disastrous invasion and occupation of Iraq. Political pundits agreed. The election was a clear and unambiguous message. And in only 4 months' time, the new Congress, led by a Democratic Party majority in both the Senate and the House, ignored that message. Specifically, last week, Democrats and Republicans joined forces and voted to authorize over $145 billion in 2008 to allow this administration to continue a policy which is an utter and absolute failure. And as if that isn't repulsive enough, these same alleged anti-war Democrats, anti-war in quotes, authorized another $50 billion for the war in 2009. It's strange credibility for members of Congress to claim to be against the war, yet authorize these obscene amounts of money to continue it. And our own congressperson, Mike Thompson, is guilty of this Orwellian doublespeak. Let's be clear. If you are for peace, you don't vote for war. It's really pretty simple. The American people and the voters of the 1st Congressional District are opposed to this war and want it ended. If Congressman Mike Thompson is unable to show the political courage necessary to end this war, he needs to be replaced. If Democrats had told the American people before the last election, if you vote for Democratic Party candidates, we pledge to give Bush enough money to keep the war going through the end of his term, plus we'll make sure there's enough money to keep the war going past his term, plus we'll privatize the oil of Iraq to benefit the corporate interests, how do you think the voters would have responded? So kudos and thank you to those engaged citizens who have been relentless in their calls for peace. Let's make sure Congressman Mike Thompson understands that he cannot take the peace vote for granted. In politics, the moment you're taken for granted, you get taken.
Hmm.
And again, that was by David Cobb. It was an excellent column, and I suggest everybody read the Time Standard today. And also, if they want to, they can call Congressman Mike Thompson at the Eureka office, 269-9595. That's area code 707-269-9595. And let Mike Thompson know what you think of his, shall we say, lack of political courage on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let him know that we do back Lynn Woolsey, we do back Barbara Lee, we want out of Iraq ASAP. You know, the same stance Dennis Kucinich has is what I seem to hear from most Democrats in Humboldt County that I talk to. It's not this conservative blue dog line that Mike Thompson lays out that, well, we can't do anything. We don't have the votes. You know, we have to give Bush a couple more years of the war to make sure it's a failure. I mean, come on, we all know this war is a failure. The only way we're going to protect our troops and support our troops for real is to get our troops out of that civil war, PETER.
Well, and Jake, one of the things that's going on, and what I'm about to say becomes even more problematical or even obscene, if that's your point of view, given that people are dying every day, Iraqis and Americans, in the war zone. And that is that the Democrats appear to be most intent on avoiding any connotation that this is their war. And so the latest strategy, the way I read it, is with the Pelosi bill and its not quite matching companion in the Senate. That'll come out of conference. And we heard Brent Badowski, who is a self-identified Sam Nunn Democrat, a very conservative Democrat, on this program yesterday, say that he believes that the House version will prevail, that there will be the benchmarks and the timelines that Bush is so eager to avoid. And then we have the bill from Russ Feingold, which is going to be put in the pipeline behind this one, so that Bush looks at that, looks at the one he's planning to veto, and says, okay, if these are my choices, what am I going to do? That, you know, works up to a point. But what I really see going on here is that the Democrats are intent on, even if it takes 2 years to get us out of Iraq, they want to keep the definition of the Iraq War as George W. Bush's war. And on one level, I'm not opposed to that. What I'm opposed to is that this political calculation requires more of our money to be wasted and more lives to be lost by Americans and Iraqis. And that I cannot condone.
That's right. And, you know, as your guest did say yesterday, I mean, it really comes down to, I think, to a lack of political courage. We have a situation where the American public clearly wants the war to come to an end. They don't want it to drag out so that Halliburton and, you know, Mike Thompson's number six contributor, Lockheed Martin, you know, the so-called anti-war Democrat Mike Thompson has taken all this money from defense contractors who are not even in his own district. So let's be clear, his anti-war stance is very suspect, to say the least. You know, we can't just simply allow them to continue making billions off of the deaths of our own soldiers and the deaths of thousands, hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqi citizens. We had no reason to go over there in the first place. There were no weapons of mass destruction. They have nothing to do with 9/11, no matter what that liar Dick Cheney continues to say.
Now, Jake, I don't want to cut into your tirade here because I don't disagree with it, but we have to spread the blame a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at our fellow citizens. And I know that people like you and Dave and others who call from Eureka have been very active and have expressed yourself even to the point of perhaps risking arrest in Mike Thompson's office. But there are hundreds and thousands of our friends and neighbors who remain silent. And just 3 weeks ago, I reported for a peace march in San Francisco on St. Patrick's Day or the day after. And there were only 3,000 people there. Before the war, we had 75 to 100,000 people who took to the streets of San Francisco. And so these comfortable incumbents, after all, not one Democrat was kicked out of the House of Representatives in the 2006 election. These people are fat and happy, and they know that they can hold on to their seats as long as the activists only represent a small percentage of the electorate. And I think that they are smug and comfortable in that calculation, and that we have to turn to our fellow citizens and say, it's time for you to speak up. It's time for you to join this outrage and this protest over the continuing policy that is killing Americans, costing us billions, and dragging down our standing in the world. And, you know, we can blame the media. There's a lot to blame there. We can blame politicians of both parties. There's plenty of blame to go around. But the reason they can continue to get away with it is because there are too many Americans who are, diverted to baseball or American Idol or the latest crime drama on television and don't give a crap, or at least enough of a crap, to speak up and let people know, like Mike Thompson, that if they continue on this path, they cannot take this person's vote for granted.
That's right. Well, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, have, you know, become very cynical about the process. They think their vote isn't even counted, and in some states, it isn't. They think that the politicians from both parties are not responsive to the public's wishes. And it's hard to argue with that. Just look at the Democrats. They apparently did not get the message from their last election. Well, of course, the Republicans never get the message. This war needs to come to an end. It is immoral. It is absolutely criminal. And why these Democrats would claim to be anti-war and then continue to vote for funding for the war, it's just despicable.
Okay. And again, Jake, the reason they can do it is because they know that we, so far, are a small minority, that we don't threaten their incumbency in 2008. And that's where they start to react. That's, you know, if you filed those papers and decided to challenge Mike Thompson in the primary next year, and you get people behind you, and it's more than just the usual peaceniks. You can show that it's, suburban soccer moms and the office park dads and lumberjacks and everybody else. That's what's going to get their attention. That's what's going to change this discourse. Thanks for your call, Jake.
Thank you, Peter.
Always appreciate your support. We're going to take a break and return. Scott Dick, I know we can reach him. He'll be on with us next and talk about military and veterans issues. You're welcome to call at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, our assistant producer, Brian Urban.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
15 British sailors come home to their very relieved families.
Oh, to hear him was absolutely wonderful.
A new requirement for cars.
The electronic stability control has the potential to save thousands of lives every year.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Held for nearly 2 weeks in Iran, the sailors were reunited with their families today at a military base in southwest England, and new details about their captivity started coming out, including word that some were subjected to solitary confinement. This is Sky News reporter Dan McClure.
The commander here at the base has said that various times some members of the group were kept on their own. That was as far as he would go with that. But interestingly, he was hinting that once they've had their medicals and been thoroughly debriefed tomorrow, there is the opportunity. We think that they will actually, some of these sailors and Marines will talk to the media.
Among the questions, were their videotaped statements coerced? None of that matters much to Jean Keaveney in Leicester. She's just glad to know her grandson, Adam Sperry, is okay.
Is just knowing, you know, when he's coming. I shall get drunk then. I don't get drunk very often, but I think I will.
Now this.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems, from casters and wheels to carts and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch. Or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Get the good stuff!
This is Michael Walter, here to let you know about a great new product at Napa. Napa now has 3M Performance Finish, a superior new waxing solution that actually bonds your car's paint surface, providing long-lasting, durable paint protection, not to mention a deep gloss finish that will be the envy of all your neighbors. Protect your car today with 3M Performance Finish, just $12.49 at Napa.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Big announcement today at the New York Auto Show. The government will require electronic stability control in all new cars and trucks to help prevent rollovers.
These new rules could save thousands of lives each year. Stability control automatically adjusts braking, keeping drivers in control of their vehicles. And says Transportation Secretary Mary Peters, keeping accidents from happening in the first place.
The electronic stability control will help prevent those dangerous rollover crashes where we lose so many lives every year.
Stability control is now on several cars and most SUVs, but often is an option that costs several hundred dollars. By 2012, it will be standard on all vehicles. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, New York.
49 states have mandatory seatbelt laws for adults, and soon it could be unanimous. In New Hampshire, the live free or die state, the House has approved a seatbelt requirement that now goes to the Senate. The past 24 hours have been a bad time for coalition forces in Iraq. At least 7 American and 4 British troops have been killed, mostly by roadside bombs. Things are heating up in Afghanistan, where NATO launched an offensive called Operation Achilles a month ago. Now officials say it's entered a new phase. CBS News correspondent David Martin is following developments.
There are now 47,000 NATO troops in Afghanistan, more than half of them American. Over the past several months, the U.S. alone has pumped in an additional 5,000 troops to aid the government of President Hamid Karzai in its battle against the Taliban. A battle, Defense Secretary Gates says, will drag on long past this spring's offensive.
I don't think this is sort of a critical moment. I think that this is part of a longer-term effort.
Afghanistan is a war with no end in sight. David Martin, CBS News, The Pentagon.
Denise Land of Raleigh, North Carolina, was talking to her teenage son cruising the Aegean Sea when he told her, "The ship is taking on water and we're going down." Land said, "Don't play with me." And he said, "I have a life vest on." The Greek liner had struck a reef. It was listing to one side. Fortunately, reporter Tula Vlahou in Athens tells us the response was swift and effective.
Within minutes after the cruise ship Sea Diamond issued a distress call off the Aegean island Santorini, Greek maritime officials dispatched rescue craft and helicopters to save the nearly 1,200 passengers, mostly Americans and Germans. Residents of the resort island watched from cliffs and hillsides as rescue teams worked for hours to bring the passengers ashore. There were no injuries reported.
Chartered vessels will take the passengers back to Athens in the morning. There's word from Rancho Mirage, California, that former First Lady Betty Ford is hospitalized. She's said to be recovering from unspecified surgery at a local hospital earlier this week, and the recovery is said to be going well. She's 88 years old. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take on Orbitz, the travel game where you could save $100 on your next hotel stay. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com during the Plan Your Escape hotel sale and save $100 on 5 nights at select hotels nearly anywhere in the world. So if work is wearing you out or your neighbors are driving you nutty, plan your escape and pick your hotel right now at Orbitz.com.
Save $100 off 5+ nights on select hotels. Valid for travel May 1st through December 20th. Book by April 30th, 2007. See site for terms and conditions.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This hour, we visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues, and you can join in. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You remember this one?
Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Goes back to the Vietnam era. Barry McGuire was the artist on that tune, The Eve of Destruction. You remember that one, Scott Dick?
I sure do.
Yeah? What does it mean to you? I got him stumped right here at the start of the show.
Yeah, I didn't even get to say welcome. I'm glad to be here, Peter.
Right, I know. I just thought I'd see what happened, and now we know.
Okay, in Stump the Chump, you win.
Scott was on maneuvers in Arizona last week and unable to join us. He was out in the desert without cell coverage at the appointed hour. And he's back with us. And, Scott, I wanted to start off the reason I thought of Eve of Destruction is that last week when you were unable to join us, I shared with our listeners this unproven and unsubstantiated report that originates from Russia and alleged Russian intelligence sources that tomorrow, April 6th, is when the U.S. is planning to attack Iran. In fact, this report even named the hour, 4 a.m. Tehran time, as when this was purported to occur. And it has great detail here. It's supposed to last 12 hours, about 20 targets marked for bombing, and it's codenamed Operation Bite. And when you and I chatted and I told you that, you said right away that alleged name for or code name for this operation doesn't sound right. Tell us why.
Well, it sounds funny for the most mundane rules. Or for the most mundane reason, the code naming rules, they're absolutely random generated. They use a computer, and there are always two names. So as soon as I heard that, I thought, sounds suspicious. They could get the code name, or they could get part of the code name, plus all the details, plus the time and start time, cross the line of departure, blah, blah, blah. But they only got half the name right.
Now, you know, my experience with this is far more limited than yours, but I think of Desert Storm, which doesn't appear to be two randomly generated terms. Desert Shield was the precursor to the actual war in the early 90s. And then Operation Iraqi Freedom, that seems to be something that was coined by a PR department, not generated by a computer on a random basis.
Well, you're right. Those are PR code names. The real names, the names that actually are stamped in all the war plans and trickle down to commanders on the ground, are entirely different. And you won't ever hear about those until years later when we declassify the information and put it out there for historians.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Iraqi Freedom. Those are all political covers-your-butt code names. Make it sound like we're doing something. Iraqi Freedom.
Right.
Freedom from electricity, freedom from water, freedom from security is what we're basically handing them.
Yeah. So, also, after I broadcast this report with appropriate warnings and caveats to our listeners, I checked with Colonel Sam Gardner, who is my number one source on these issues, because Cy Hirsch probably knows a little more, but I don't know him, and he doesn't return my phone calls. But Sam Gardner had deep doubts about this. He said the Eisenhower carrier group is on a leisurely path to the Persian Gulf area, but is not expected to be there for another 10 days or so from now. And so I haven't been able to find anybody stateside who corroborates this alleged report.
And what can I tell you, Pete? The single code name, if that's the real code name, I'll be shocked. And I think it's, you know, disinformation and just adds to the confusing political mix of lies and half-truths that the Bush administration is telling us, and then, you know, the Internet and the Russian intel, et cetera. So it just adds into the, you know, makes our lives a little more interesting.
Well, and candidly, you know, one of the reasons that I am open or at least curious to read and pass along information like this is that I recall that before September 11th, we now know that there were more than 50 attempts to warn our government that Al-Qaeda had plans to attack us on September 11th. And at least five of those came from Russian intelligence. We know that others came from Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency. So because I've been lied to before, because I don't believe the official story of 9/11 and exactly what happened and why, I am vulnerable in some ways, and I know many other people who are too, to these kinds of suggestions. I no longer have that that gut reaction of giving my government the benefit of the doubt.
Well, true. And you know, if it were to come up, they were to come up with something like, you know, Operation Ferris Bite or Operation Spoke Bite or something like that, then I would be shaking in my boots right now.
So the code name alone is enough to discredit this for you.
Well, you know, and it sounds silly, but folks out there will wait and see who's right, any Russian intelligence or me.
Yeah. And by the way, this article was written by Webster G. Tarpley at the Online Journal, and he's described as a journalist who has published an investigation into the manipulation of the Red Brigades by the Vatican's P2 suite. I don't even know much about that. And the assassination of Aldo Moro, who was an Italian premier.
That name sounds like one generated from a random name generator as well.
Webster G. Tarpley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I emailed Mr. Tarpley and invited him on the show, and I'm still waiting for a response.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I know about that. What is your take on the resolution of the crisis between Iran and Britain that had 15 sailors and Marines from Britain in the custody of Iran for the last 10 days?
I find this very interesting. I would say it's probably due directly to the moderates and the religious influence in Iran. And, you know, at first blush, it seems like probably the Brits paid them off, you know, agreed to pay him a couple million bucks or not to do something. But I think more that the president got himself into a situation, and it took the moderates and, that are internal in the government, something that Dr. Bill Beaman has talked about. He's not, you know,
Ahmadinejad.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
David Letterman can say his name, but I can't. You know, he's really put himself out on several occasions out on the limb, and this is maybe his way of saving face before, you know, something bad happens. They do not want to start anything with the Brits and then have the Americans on one side and the Brits on the other.
Well, it's very interesting because yesterday in Tehran, there was a lengthy public proceeding. And initially what Ahmadinejad did was give medals to the Iranian sailors who had detained the British Marines and sailors and brought them ashore in Iran. And then he went into a long spiel and praised Allah and did a lot of other stuff and then kind of surprised people by saying, and by the way, for Easter, we're sending these Britons back to Britain. And what's funny to me, I guess at least amusing, is the photograph of these British troops who were not in uniform anymore. They're in these funky little suits like the ones that Ahmadinejad wears, you know.
70s leisure suit.
Yeah, with a lot of polyester.
Right.
And they look very uncomfortable in these outfits, and they have shiny new black shoes on that may have been their military issue, but possibly are, you know, fresh footwear supplied by Iran. But there are curious elements to this, because the British service members were required to apologize on camera for trespassing when their government has gone to great lengths to establish and prove that the British crew did not cross over the murky line that doesn't exist of the border between Iraq and Iran at the Shatt al-Arab waterway.
Well, one of the things is that, you know, polyester chafes, and that could be the uncomfortable part of that. That's kind of a joke, but their uniforms are missing. And that's interesting, and they had to apologize. And one of the things that comes to my mind, Peter, is what if Iran had declared them as enemy non-combatants or terrorists?
Yeah.
And then they could feel free to torture them because the Geneva Convention is pretty quaint.
Mm-hmm. So, well, also, it's interesting because one of the possible triggers here is that one Iranian diplomat was released. He had been held by unknown groups in Iraq for about 3.5 weeks, and he was released the day before Ahmadinejad announced that the British were being released.
Hmm.
We still have 5 Iranians who are in our custody from Erbil, and they were taken in January, and we claimed, or late January, early February, and we claimed that they are spies or something like that. And I thought that we were going to have to cough them up before Iran would release the Britons.
Well, it could be that the sole Iranian was held by the Brits, Brit intel. And that's the quote, the quid pro quo. Of
mm-hmm.
course, they declared there would be none of that.
Right.
And I'm sure now, Peter, that those operations, those boat search operations, are going to be covered by military air, whether they're attack helicopters or attack jets.
Mm-hmm.
So this cannot happen again.
Well, and maybe, you know, they could borrow some of the floats from Cypress Gardens or someplace like that and actually, you know, make a line in the middle of the Shatt al-Arab waterway so that everybody knows where the border actually is. That's an issue of some contention, and many believe that there isn't an actual precise line. It's just kind of the midpoint of the river, and that's something that can be very subjective at a given moment. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick talking military and veterans issues. If you want to join in, call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Much more on the way here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And good afternoon, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest. We're going to start off with a major problem being reported out of, let's cruise on over to San Jose, North 87 between 101 and 1st Street. We have all lanes of a crash that have been cleared. Unfortunately, it was a fatal crash. I'm going to mention the fact that Charcot Avenue at 87 is still shut down for an investigation there. In Prunedale, Sandy Hill Drive at Vieira Canyon, we have a pickup truck that hit a tree. CHP is on scene. We're going to take a look at a crash in Hollister. It's Highway 156 at Flora Avenue. It's a fender bender on the right shoulder. Three vehicles involved, and the CHP is on the scene of that particular crash. Traffic in the area a little bit slow as a result. This report brought to you by JCPenney. Gentlemen, it's Van Heusen week at the men's store at JCPenney. With huge savings on all Van Heusen clothes you need, it's easy to get in and get out and find it. Looking matters to JCPenney.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. If there's a comment or a question you'd like to bring to this discussion, call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And in the 51st state of occupied Iraq, the carnage continues. According to the Pentagon, 3,251 American service members have died since the start of the Iraq War. And in the latest batch, two from California, Gabriel Figueroa of Baldwin Park and Curtis Spivey of Chula Vista. And Scott Dick, it appears we have another friendly fire case where the Pentagon's reports keep shifting. And this is an incident that occurred a couple of weeks ago, actually in February. The Army said it's investigating the deaths of Private Matthew Zimer of Glendive, Montana, and Specialist Alan McPeak of Tucson, respectively 18 and 20 years old. They were killed in Ramadi on February 2nd. The families of the two soldiers were initially told that they'd been killed by enemy fire. But we're getting kind of a different report almost every week now about what actually occurred there.
Right, right. I want to say two things first, Peter. First is that, you know, CNN's Glenn Beck, that idiot, said it's just been just 3,250 troops. That meaning is not, that has no meaning for him, probably because he never wore a uniform.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting that these talking heads, especially right-wing talking heads, the chicken hawks, are the ones so easy to just discount American loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the friendly fire incident, at first they reported that it was a recoilless rifle, which kind of struck me as odd. I didn't know that the insurgents were using recoilless rifles. And I think probably now, after looking at subsequent reports, it was probably main gun tank fire or something close to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, a supplemental report on February 28 suggested the initial reports might have been wrong, but an investigation was underway. According to the Army, the unit did not include friendly fire in that report because they were reluctant to make the claim until the unit-level investigation was complete. It took another month, and then March 31st, a subsequent report was issued, and it's still causing more confusion. And according to the published reports at the time of the incident, McPeak, Zimer, and other soldiers came under attack by insurgents at their outpost in central Ramadi. A report in Army Times said the two soldiers ran to a roof to fight back, but a shot was fired through a concrete wall near them, and the impact killed them.
You know, see, it takes a pretty normally shaped charge that's been launched from the main gun of a tank or a recoilless rifle. Those are also shaped charges, will penetrate concrete like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they die from the spalling effect. That's the shrapnel, if you will, from the concrete and the rebar, and not so much the actual shrapnel or the blast itself, you know, mm-hmm. the penetrator. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of this. First of all, friendly fire ain't. I don't know why they use that expression.
Yeah.
Fratricide is much more, it's much closer to describe what really is. Mm-hmm. Blue on blue, sometimes they describe it as.
Right. Well, and fragging is the other term, right, when it's intentional on the part of a soldier to shoot one of his own.
Well, fragging refers to throwing a hand grenade under a tent flap, and that actually happened the first year in Iraq, and that trial is still going on up in, mm-hmm. I think, Fort Drum.
What is the accurate term, then, for an intentional death of one of our soldiers at the hands of one of our soldiers?
Murder.
Okay.
Murder in a combat zone is murder. It's treated as that. It's investigated as a murder, and they put criminal investigation division on it. It's completely handled differently than
mm-hmm.
something that's, you know, a guy's running from point A to point B, and you open up because you see a bad guy, and then that one of your guys gets killed that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's really one of those awful, sad things that happens. It's not the same as Tillman, where he stood up because they were laying down a base of fire, as they call it, on his position. He stood up to show himself and say, hey, look, it's me. And they kept shooting.
Well, he said it's effing Pat Tillman.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know, Pat, what he was thinking, and I'm not blaming the victim, but here he has to know from firing a weapon that when your cheek is up against the stock of an M16 rifle, an M14 or whatever, you can't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chances of anybody hearing him say that are pretty slim.
Yeah. Any other comment you have on the Tillman case?
No, they're not going to believe anything that the Army says now, and I don't really blame them. They tried to put a spin on this, and the moment that they tried to put a political spin on his death and try to keep him as this sort of right wing, look what this great American has done for America, you know, and by lying about it and let the Army lie about it. And I haven't heard anybody from the big bosses come out and really slap the Army down for doing that.
Right. We got to take a break. We'll continue with Scott Dick in a moment. Call me toll free, 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join the conversation.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pour me another tequila, Sheila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored will retake the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Mitt Romney is top dog in the Republican money race. But can this top dog hunt? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Candidate Mitt Romney now faces a crucial question for anybody running as a Republican. Does he really hunt? Wearing an NRA cap in Keene, New Hampshire, he told the audience, quote, "I've been a hunter pretty much all my life." But when the Associated Press checked out that claim, it found that Mitt Romney hunted once last year when he bagged some quail at a game preserve in Georgia, and before that in Idaho when he shot rabbits with his cousins at the age of 15. That's it. He's hunted twice. Although, to be fair, he did go after the rabbits with a semi-automatic weapon. But still, is it enough? When Democrat John Kerry hunted pheasant in 2004 right before the Iowa caucuses, it helped him about as much as sailboarding did. And Republicans are expected to set the bar a little higher.
I'm the guy who pulled the trigger and shot my friend.
I'm the guy who shot my friend. That was unintentional, of course, but no one's going to question Dick Cheney's hunting credentials. Everybody from Wyoming to Iran knows that when he picks up a gun, he means it. And in times like these, you need that. Governor Romney has to remember, he's up against people like Rudy Giuliani, who's appeared in public 3 times dressed in women's clothes, and Hillary Clinton, who does it every day. He's got to prove that he's the man in this race.
This is not a time for more talk and dithering.
Exactly, which means it's time to get out there and shoot some serious quail, Governor. Nobody said running for president was going to be easy. In fact, the only thing tougher is to be a game bird in a swing state. Now this.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our weekly visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. If you have a question or a comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The next item I want to get your comment on is something that I've talked about a little bit, but I have seen very little coverage on this and not heard any outrage, which I think is most appropriate. On the 28th of March, it was announced that ITT Corporation has agreed to pay a $100 million penalty, and we'll come back to that $100 million figure because it's wobbly, for illegally sending classified night vision technology used in our military operations to China and other countries. ITT is the leading manufacturer of night vision equipment for U.S. Armed Forces, and they pled guilty to two felony charges, one for export of defense articles without a license, and the other, omission of statements of material fact in arms exports reports. Now, these are defined as criminal actions by ITT, and they got off with this slap on the wrist. The $100 million fine isn't even $100 million. Because it actually is $50 million, and then they get to work off the other $50 million dollar for dollar by investing in the development and production of more advanced night vision technology so the U.S. military maintains a battlefield advantage. Now, they didn't agree not to sell that enhanced technology to China later.
Ooh, where do I sign up to commit some kind of export fraud?
Isn't this amazing?
Because it is amazing. And, well, AT&T, if you trace the money, just look after the money, Peter, you'll see they're big, big Republican donors. And, folks, if you just want to look at who contributes, the military contractors, if they're not staffed with Bush cronies, Bush has those people in his administration, and they give hundreds of millions of dollars. So what's 50 million bucks?
Yeah,
and a contract to do 50 million more.
Well, and part of the fine is a $28 million forfeit to the U.S. government for illegal proceeds. Now, it's not spelled out in this news article, but that strongly suggests that they didn't just give this to China or leave it laying around on a desk in Beijing. They sold it to the Chinese.
My bet is, Peter, they sent it to a company to reverse engineer it so they can make it cheaper, and the IT&T can sell it for the same price back to the government.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably why they got popped, is they're having a Chinese company look at it so they can manufacture it.
Now, I'm working hard not to be incendiary here or just hype this up, but doesn't this fit the textbook definition of treason?
Well, if you give the Chinese capability, now if Bill Clinton did this, or somebody from, this was white night vision goggle water, there would be 100 right-wing talking heads talking about this for 8 hours a day on the Republican talking points.
Right.
But because Bush cronies did it, it's like not even a blip on the radar screen. It's like the Washington Times reports, billions deemed wasted, stolen. Iraqi accounting is still a muddle. Contract fails to produce a system to detect fraud. So there's a consulting firm, new one, got a budget. I wonder if they had to bid for it. They had to, compete for it. And they're supposed to produce a database. Well, they didn't produce the database. So what else is new? Here's another one, Peter, that just gets my goat. U.S. need for blast-proof trucks climbs to $8.4 billion. Pete, do you know what a blast-proof truck is?
It's an armored vehicle.
It's a tank. These idiots. That's all I can say. And a truck. Let's say the Buffalo. It is. It's a truck with a boat-shaped hull to deflect these shape charges. That's a tank. It can't shoot back. It's ridiculous. And if people, if you know, Bradleys have, that's the a lightly armored vehicle. It's not a tank. It's an infantry fighting vehicle. Our infantry are on the ground walking. That has firing ports. So you have at least two out the back. You have three on the sides. You can drive through the streets with your weapons firing, and you're protected inside. So what would you use that for? Coming to the rescue of a dismounted squad. Mm-hmm. And what comes to a rescue of a dismounted squad now? Humvees. So it's ridiculous. So now we have $8.4 billion worth of trucks, and our tanks are sitting at Fort Knox and at Fort Leavenworth, not Leavenworth, but the Texas, the big Texas, Fort Hood, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It drives me nuts. So they're going to spend $8.4 billion for blast-proof trucks. Those are tanks that can't shoot back.
Mm-hmm. Now, just one more swipe at this ITT deal.
Oh, sorry.
I do believe it's treasonous for an American corporation to sell our military technology to potential enemies, and clearly this shows that it was a criminal act that violated our statutes. Now, the right-wingers, including your favorite blonde bimbo, Ann Coulter, unleash the word treason at the lightest provocation from someone on the left. In fact, just for being on the left, Ann Coulter's written a book called Treason, and in 250 pages, she basically accuses liberals of being treasonous.
Well, that blonde idiot, right. If you use the word treason enough, then it becomes meaningless. And so when there's a case of real treason in the right, then they'll just say, well, the Democrats are, you know, using the politics of personal destruction, which was invented by Newt Gingrich, and, you know, now he's come out and said, we should end this. Politics of personal destruction. Yeah, because he's running for president.
Well, and the T word was also used by a very shrill San Francisco right-wing morning talk show host named Melanie Morgan, who gets much more attention than she deserves, by spewing this kind of venom. And she said that Bill Keller, the editor of the New York Times, committed treason because he permitted articles to be published in the Times that described a non-classified effort by the U.S. where we were intercepting these financial transfers through a shop in Belgium, which is kind of a central switching point for banking in the European community now. And I don't believe he committed treason. He committed journalism. And yet we don't hear from Ann Coulter or Michelle Malkin or any of those shrill harpies on the right about a clear case of what I believe is treason or at least serious lawbreaking by an American corporation that puts our members of the military at risk.
Well, Peter, it's a double standard, and it's a political. It's a form of right-wing political correctness. You can criticize people on the left or people with a brain all you want to, but you're not allowed to criticize anybody on the right no matter what they've done. So that's why only a minority of Congress has come out against Gonzalez, et cetera. So it's a very odd, hypocritical, strange form of political correctness where we're not allowed, or the Republican, the blend idiots in the world are not allowed to criticize or won't, because it's going against the faith.
Yeah.
It's the same as Christians criticizing Bush for being a liar. You don't hear them doing that. It's
true.
Not politically correct.
Yeah, they can't find that in their vocabulary. We're talking with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Scott, a few weeks back, you made a very key point related to the treatment of Iraq veterans, particularly those who have been injured in the line of duty. And that is that we are going to be obligated to these people, and rightfully so, for multiple generations. And I clipped this just from 2 days ago out of the newspaper. The last known surviving World War I Navy veteran, a guy named Lloyd Brown, died on Thursday in Charlotte Hall, Maryland, at the age of 105. So some of these 19-year-olds who have been injured in Iraq will be with us for another 84 years if they live as long as Lloyd Brown.
You know, Peter, and I saw an article much like that from a different paper, and the subtitle was, "There are only a handful left." That means there's still World War I veterans with us. Bless their hearts. And where did that young man, where did that old soldier die?
At the veterans home called Charlotte Hall.
Exactly. And so what Americans don't realize that our grandchildren literally are going to be paying, the great-grandchildren will be paying the bill for this folly, not only, I mean, for the physical folly that we'll see them on the streets. They're already beginning to appear on the streets. It's an issue already down in L.A. at some of the, they just closed down a big fest tent that they set up in the wintertime in L.A. for homeless veterans, full with World War II still, Vietnam and Korea veterans, and now they had an Iraqi, a young Iraqi war veteran join their ranks.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a proud title that they wanted to add to their, you know, their resume.
Right. The death of Mr. Brown leaves three known survivors who served in the U.S. Army and a fourth who lives in Washington State and served in the Canadian Army in World War I. So it appears there are four survivors at this date. And, Scott, you just mentioned a case, and I want to direct people's attention to a front-page story in the New York Times today. And it's a very powerful and wrenching description of a returned Iraq veteran named Sam Ross. He lives in Dunbar, Pennsylvania. He's now 24 years old. He lost a leg. He is blind. He's deaf in one ear. He's estranged from his mother. His father is serving a life sentence for killing his stepmother. And Mr. Ross has attempted suicide 17 times since he returned from Iraq. It's just stunning, and his saga includes being bounced around in the military healthcare system and then tossed off to the Veterans Administration. Jack Murtha intervened and tried to take him under his wing, and now one of the attempted suicides led to a homicide charge because he tried to burn down the family trailer in February, and they have pursued these charges against him.
Attempted homicide, but it's disgusting, Peter. You know, here is the Marine Corps patting itself on the back, and this is typical of not just the Marine Corps, but all the services. It's from the Washington Post. Program to improve care for service members begins. The Marine Corps has begun its Wounded Warrior regime to help injured Marines and sailors through their recovery and an often difficult bureaucracy. Where were these idiots in 2003? I don't understand why this is such a big deal with it. This should be a really closely guarded secret that they're just now beginning this program. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. After the break, I want to talk to you about another new program that's being conducted. They are finally conducting research into the effects of the anthrax vaccinations that virtually every service member was required to submit to before being deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan.
We'll get you me started on that, Peter.
I'm going to get you started on that in 3 minutes, so calm down for now. Take a deep breath. He's Scott Dick. I'm Peter B. Collins. More in a moment. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 100,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at stardatesolar.com.
My hotel for a night of the wildest, kinkiest sex of your life. We're gonna do things that would embarrass porn stars. Then we're gonna have a snack. Then I'm gonna take off your handcuffs and we're gonna do it all over again.
Quiet, please, everybody. Waiting for speed. Later, please. God, I got blueberry all over my coochie.
We used to be friends until she started competing with me about everything. Who had the best hair? Who had the biggest boobs?
Who did have the biggest?
Sometimes her, sometimes me. I have...
Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host.
Well, my son asked me today, is this another Vietnam? I said, son, you know it's, well, it's no, it's, go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried because they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly. We'll send someone else's boy because we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Chicken hawk.
Call me a chicken hawk.
That's Roy Zimmerman, and that bass voice sounds just like Dick Cheney. That's called Chicken Hawk. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on veterans and military issues. And, Scott, I want to set this up at least from my twisted perspective. I've always been angry that the Bush administration falsely claimed that Saddam had chemical, biological, and perhaps nuclear weapons, WMD, and sent our troops to invade this despot who was desperate and who, if he had them, probably would have used chemical or biological weapons on our troops. And many were grossly unprotected. The ABC suits and masks were out of date, and many of them were not functional. And fortunately, Saddam didn't have those weapons. It was also thought, according to the phony cooked intelligence, that he had anthrax. And so the military required every person deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, at least that's what I believe, to take a vaccine for anthrax that many people had doubts about. And now, in a tacit acknowledgement, and we want to credit Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com for breaking this report, they are launching a five-year plan to monitor veterans who received doses of the anthrax vaccine, and they want to monitor their health. Now, what that indicates is that they subjected the entire force to a vaccine that they now acknowledge directly or indirectly was not safe and was not properly tested.
Well, anthrax, if the Mr. Bush can say peninsula, I can say anthrax.
Okay, and nuclear.
The anthrax deal was a six-shot regimen. It just wasn't one vaccine over a period of time, and it started in the 90s. And They kept saying, it's safe, it's safe. And even Cohn, who I respected, took the shots, he said. And they said, he took the shots. And they said, if you don't believe us, check out our research. And they put a bunch of stuff on the web, and I went to the web, and I started reading. And the more I read, the more, the scareder and scareder I got. Until the point I made the decision, Peter, as I've said before, to get out of the military before they could subject me to that regime. And it was frightening. And the bottom line was, the military was trying to use a vaccine that had been approved for inhalated anthrax that tanners get when they're handling infected animals, not the kind of airborne anthrax that would be sprayed or would be liquefied, et cetera. So it wasn't even against the correct target employment. Besides the reactions that soldiers, sailors, Marines, and air people had subsequent to them getting the shots. And those were downplayed. Oh, it's a few cases. And no matter what people said, the government was unwilling to listen until the laboratory was decertified. And the laboratory was owned by retired chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, by the way. He bought it, and pretty soon this regime was required. And then the lab was so dirty and the product so unstable that the FDA decertified the lab, and then they went through this massive, you know, try to rebuild, and they were still giving shots based on the vaccine that this lab had created. And, oh, it was just an ugly, ugly, disgusting tale. And it finally took a federal lawsuit to stop it.
Wow. Well, the article describes an Iraq War veteran who served in the military for 25 years, a 51-year-old New Yorker named Luis Hernandez. A few days after receiving his third anthrax vaccination, he developed a lesion on his leg, and the lesion grew, other autoimmune problems developed, and then in May 2006, he was forced to return home from Iraq to receive medical care. When I got back, I had 13 lesions. It was just too much for my immune system. They didn't know what was going on. They thought his illness was related to the vaccine. Well, when he told them he thought it was related to the vaccine, they told him he was delusional. And for a while, he thought he was going crazy. Well, Raw Story has posted a document here that came from the military as part of this new monitoring program. The occurrence of headaches and myalgia following the receipt of vaccines has been well documented. The immunopathogenic mechanism of these symptoms has yet to be clearly defined. We've noted in a number of service members who now exhibit chronic refractory headaches, as well as persistent musculoskeletal pain in temporal association with the receipt of the anthrax vaccine. That's a fancy way of saying that they happen coincidentally. Based on these observations, we are attempting to establish case definitions as well as diagnostic treatment and vaccination options.
You know, Peter, when we read it like that, it sounds more clinical, but muscular skeletal pain, I've had the real flu, I think, once in my life, and it's where the joints actually ache. You don't have nausea and vomiting. I had joint pain. I talked to a doctor, said, yeah, that's the real flu. Bone pain is something you can't escape from. There's no position you can get into to make it to relieve that pain. You just have to take massive amounts of drugs. And this is because of the anthrax vaccine. It'll be like Agent Orange. This is going to follow us for a long time because they took it before Gulf War number one, along with a cocktail of other drugs. It's disgusting. I don't know what to say. I'm just glad I'm not on active duty right now.
Well, and not to fear you up, but you probably spend some time wondering about the vaccinations and other medications you received or were forced to accept while you served, and those could be just ticking away inside you.
Well, I got the ones that classics. I got the ones for yellow fever and black plague and all, you know, the things that you could, you know, those trusty old diseases you could catch from some foreign land.
Mm-hmm.
These new ones, as a result of American-made, home-bred vaccines, I don't know what to say.
Yep. Well, and the supplemental with the Democratic timelines and caveats in it, which the president says he will veto, has $3 billion in additional funding for the Veterans Administration. And this story was published last week. Veterans Affairs officials wasted millions on a $100 million computer security contract that became a virtual open checkbook because of poor oversight and sloppy management. They spent $35 million for equipment and supplies under the contract that they can't account for. They increased the scope of the contract several times, pressing it up to $250 million with little thought of oversight. So we're going to throw more money at them.
Well, Peter, that's just the security. In the 90s, they wasted $100 million like the FBI did on a new computer network system that never produced a bit of information. So the VA is just sort of this, I know where to look for all that all that computer equipment, too.
Yeah, where?
Every contractor that ever worked at a VA facility. Because when you don't have accountability, that stuff walks for a weekend, and then it's a week, and then it's a month, and nobody's asked them for it. Pretty soon, it's forever on their shelf at home, or it's their daily use computer. Oh, where'd you get that? Oh, when I worked at the VA.
Liberated, isn't that the term?
Yeah, liberated from the idiot. Hey, you know, Peter, the difference between the Army and the Pentagon? The Army and the Boy Scouts?
No, tell me.
The Boy Scouts have adult supervision. And the Federal Appeals Court just struck down the ACL-backed lawsuit that, you know, the Pentagon had been funding the National Boy Scout Jamboree because the DOD sees that as a recruiting and training tool.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. We're out of time.
Thanks,
we'll
Peter.
Talk to you next week. Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Free Speech Zone next.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters went to the New York Auto Show today to announce a new safety requirement.
The electronic stability control will help prevent those dangerous rollover crashes where we lose so many lives every year.
By the 2012 model year, all new vehicles will be required to have it. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cortes explains.
Electronic stability control, or ESC, is a step up from anti-lock brake systems. When a driver swerves suddenly, sensors apply brakes to individual wheels to keep the vehicle from spinning out of control. Stability control is already a standard feature on 90% of all new SUVs, but fewer than half of all other new vehicles come equipped with it, so the automakers will have to move quickly to comply with the new rule.
Experts say it will take a cost a couple of hundred dollars to the price on add a couple of hundred dollars to the price of a car, but could save thousands of lives each year. The British sailors shown on Iranian TV said they were treated very well, but now that they're back home, a different story is emerging. Sky News reporter Dan McClure at the base where the sailors were reunited with their families says at least one man was kept isolated.
He was held in solitary confinement for some time during his stay in Iran. And the head of the base here has also come out within the last couple of hours and confirmed that at various times, various members of the 15 Marines and sailors were also kept on their own by the Iranians.
They're expected to speak publicly tomorrow.
I'm Mark Noller in Crawford, Texas. While applauding the release of the British personnel by Iran, the White House makes clear it doesn't take Iran off the hook on the matter of its nuclear program. A spokesman traveling here with President Bush says Iran must still comply with those UN resolutions demanding that it suspend the enrichment of uranium that the U.S. fears could be used for nuclear weapons.
If you thought the war in Afghanistan was winding down, consider this. There are 2,000 more U.S. troops there now than there were at this time last year. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has more.
NATO forces headed by American Army General Dan McNeil opened a spring offensive about a month ago called Operation Achilles. Joint Chiefs Chairman Peter Pace says a new phase of that operation is now underway.
It will unfold very clearly here in the next couple of days, but yes, NATO operations have begun.
Defense Secretary Gates added he wants to make sure Afghanistan is not neglected as U.S. forces focus on Iraq.
I don't think this is sort of a critical moment. I think that this is part of a longer-term effort.
The Taliban take advantage of better spring weather to boost attacks. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Former First Lady Betty Ford, whose husband died in December, is said to be recovering well after surgery at Eisenhower Medical Center in Rancho Mirage, California. The nature of the surgery hasn't been disclosed. She's 88. Today on Wall Street, the Dow picked up 30 points to finish the week at 12,560. This is CBS News.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. The American Heart Association says one way to promote a healthy heart is to eat a diet naturally rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Well, did you know Welch's 100% grape juice contains powerful antioxidants, much like the grapes used to make red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. It may be the tastiest way to help protect your heart. I made the switch to Welch's 100% grape juice. No added sugar, unmistakably delicious taste. I'm Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
The Florida Gators won the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, and now, as CBS News correspondent Peter King reports, some things will change and some things will be the same.
The coach is staying.
For me, this is, I'm happy and I'm sad.
Billy Donovan's four-star juniors are leaving.
They've made the decision to forego their senior years and enter the NBA draft.
Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Taurean Green, and Corey Brewer were the heart and soul of the Gators' back-to-back championships. The coach was Kentucky's first choice to replace Tubby Smith, but Donovan says he decided to stay after talking with his family and Florida's athletic director. Now, just days after winning it all, he has to rebuild. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
When a metallic lump crashed through the roof of a home in Bloomington, Illinois, geology professor Robert Nelson thought it was a meteorite, but after an investigation, Nelson says it was shot out of a wood grinder at a recycling business that's the length of three football fields away. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings, so Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems, from casters and wheels to carts and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Get the good stuff!
This is Michael Walter, here to let you know about a great new product at Napa. Napa now has 3M Performance Finish, a superior new waxing solution that actually bonds to your car's paint surface, providing long-lasting and durable paint protection, not to mention a deep gloss finish that will be the envy of all your neighbors. Protect your car today with 3M Performance Finish, just $12.49 at Napa.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls.
That's right.
Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
It's the free speech zone. My switchboard is wide open to hear from you on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Listen to this.
Now I'm listening to Peter B., and I don't need no TV. Gonna party with a couple of friends at Six Rivers Brewery.
That's your invitation right there.
'Cause I found a better place underneath the redwood tree. Said I found a better place where I'm safe with my 215. Humboldt County Rainbow, take me away.
Yeah, it is after 4:20.
Humboldt County Rainbow,
Words and music by Jesse Goplin, who joins us on the phone from Eureka right now. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for making a song and dropping my name into it.
Well, I love your show. I really believe it's the best show on the radio.
Well, I really appreciate that. But you've taken a stroke out of the playbook from, going back to the Wilson Pickett era, where they used to put the names of DJs or radio stations into the songs to get the DJs and the radio stations to play their songs.
Well, you know, actually, when I did that, you had already agreed to play my first song, September 11 Blues. So
that's right, and I will just acknowledge right now that I've received no cash yet from Jesse Goplin. And if I do receive cash, I just have to disclose it. Do you know that? It's not illegal to take the money. It's just illegal not to disclose it.
Well, I don't plan on giving you any cash either, but I will certainly hook you up with a CD.
Okay, I'd love that. And you've got a CD debut party tomorrow night at the Six Rivers Brewery in Arcata?
Actually, Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah, at 8 o'clock. There's a $3 cover. It's going to be a real good time. The 9/11 Truth Humboldt crew is going to be there, and we're going to have free DVDs, free bumper stickers, a lot of information there, and I'm going to play for about 2 hours. And it's also Brew Year's Eve, the anniversary of the end of Prohibition.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, it is.
Huh. I went to college at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, which was the center of Prohibition. It's where the Women's Christian Temperance Union and Carrie Nation were based in the 19-teens and 20s. And they were instrumental in passing the Volstead Act that made it illegal to sip a brew.
Well, that was a terrible time.
Well, it was.
You know, people were drinking all kinds of stuff, wood alcohol, rubbing alcohol, whatever.
Yeah.
And, we've got a really terrible situation right now with cannabis prohibition.
I heard that reference to Prop 215 in there.
Yeah, well, shortly after 9/11, actually, I was diagnosed with panic disorder, and I spent 4 months in, well, hell, I guess you could say.
Oh.
And, I got my 215 now, and that was what really helped me, and that's why I came out to Humboldt County, and that's what that Humboldt County Rainbow song is about,
mm-hmm.
really. An important song to me personally. So,
and marijuana does have medicinal purposes and medicinal value.
Certainly, in fact, a few years ago I started like a email discussion list called the Mental Health Patients Union for Americans for Safe Access, and I still moderate that, just for people who use cannabis for psychological types of things.
Yeah. Well, and Jesse, we have this incredible hypocrisy, and we saw it again over the last couple of days. We talked to Josh Wolf, who spent 7.5 months in a federal jail, and also a guy named Gabe Myers, who was caught up in the demonstration that Josh Wolf videotaped, and then Josh wouldn't cough up the videotape. And they took what was a local San Francisco city cop issue and somehow flipped it into a federal case. Because under California law, Josh Wolf's videotape was protected under the journalist shield rules. But under federal law, there is no such protection. That's what we learned in the Scooter Libby trial. And so they took a case that, was a sad situation. A cop got a fractured skull. And they're so desperate to come up with information and find somebody to blame for this that they went beyond their regular police work. And they fingered a guy who, some people doubt that Josh Wolf is a journalist. I don't think that's an important question. I think he was acting as a journalist in this role and that he deserves protection under the law. But my point is that when certain people, and in this case, we can't blame Republicans in Washington. This was cops in San Francisco who decided that they couldn't get what they wanted out of the local district attorney. So they turned to the U.S. attorney. And stretched the Josh Wolf case into a federal case. And that's what they've done with medical marijuana. As you point out, Prop 215 makes it legal for you to possess and use cannabis for medicinal purposes in the state of California. And on a routine basis, the marijuana clubs that dispense it are raided by the feds, and it's just a big mess. And these are the, these law enforcement people and the Republicans who empower them always argue for states' rights, except when it isn't convenient for their point of view.
Oh, that's exactly correct, Peter. And well, I'm glad you see it. And, that's why I think you're the best show on the radio, of course, because you do see through the lies and everything. With the 215 issue, I mean, clearly it is a states' rights issue, and that's what the Raich versus Ashcroft case turned on was states' rights. And,
yeah.
you know, it is completely hypocritical of them to, you know, basically support states' rights when it's only convenient for them.
Yeah. Jesse, I want to play another, at least part of a tune here, and we can talk about your political views on this. This is the September 11 Blues. We're talking with Jesse Goplin, and he's performing in Arcata at the Six Rivers Brewery on Saturday night.
Come down on me. Come down on me. September 11 blues, come down on me, come down on me, yeah, yeah. Can you explain molten metal, molten metal? Can you explain building seven, building seven?
Jesse, I want to dedicate this one to Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I am so proud of Rosie. You know, I have so much respect for her. And I think, you know, it really takes a lot of courage when your identity is on the line to come out and speak the truth.
Yeah.
And she has taken so much crap from Bill O'Reilly and the typical conservative attack dogs.
Well, and I think she got girded up in her little verbal exchange with the Donald.
yeah, no kidding.
What a smarmy little mofo that guy is.
No kidding, yeah, she was trying to say he was bankrupt, I guess. But
yeah.
She's written some excellent stuff on her blog at rosie.com/blog, and she's come out with even more. She's, you know, as the newspapers have said, pledged allegiance to 9/11 truth, to finding the truth about 9/11.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be more happy that people like her are speaking out because, you know, on The View she reaches so many people, and it's an important audience. She has credibility with liberal listeners.
Well, I think it's really courageous of her, and it's consistent with her behavior. I give her a lot of credit. And it's important for those of us, I mean, you know, I've been talking about this for a long time. I don't buy the mythology that's been created about what happened on September 11. And it's really hard to get that out there in the corporate media without being chewed up, chopped up, and ridiculed. And I commend her for doing it, and I just hope that other people will raise their voices because, you know, fundamentally we deserve to know the truth. And if we can't believe what we've been told about 9/11, there's so many other things that are linked to it or leveraged on it that the whole house of cards can fall, and it leaves us doubting our government. And, Jesse, I referenced this a little bit earlier when I was talking with Scott Dick about this this memo that suggests that tomorrow might be the day that the U.S. launches an aerial assault on Iran.
Right.
And one of the reasons that I'm vulnerable to this kind of a report, which I certainly hope it's not true, and I hope we all wake up tomorrow and say, wow, that Operation Bite, that was bogus, and you know, you can even criticize me for putting it on and sharing it. I'll take my lumps on that, but I really want to be wrong about that. And the reason I felt compelled to share it with you and everybody else who listens is that we can't trust our government. And we know that they haven't leveled with us on what their intentions are toward Iran.
No, they certainly haven't. And, you know, the word you used to describe 9/11, a myth, I think that's perfect because it really is a myth. It's not supported by the facts. You know, when you look at the molten metal, the first fact I brought up in my song, the New York Times said the deepest mystery of 9/11 is why is there molten metal, you know, even after weeks in these rubble piles. I mean, these rescue workers that were going on the pile would wear through, you know, a pair of boots every time they would go out there because of the molten metal. And, you know, Professor Stephen Jones, for example, argues that that's because there was thermite that brought the buildings down in a controlled demolition.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know exactly what happened. I think that that is a more believable explanation than the pancake theory or the others that have been put forward by NIST and Popular Mechanics. And David Ray Griffin has been traveling out of the country, but he has a new book out called Debunking the Debunkers. And he takes on NIST and popular mechanics and, as he says in the title, debunks them. So I'm looking forward to talking with him again. It should be in the next week or two. In the meantime, Jesse Goplin, I want to direct people to your website, JesseGoplin.com, and invite all our folks in the North State to come out on Saturday night at Six Rivers and join you for the celebration.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Peter B., and I hope to see all of the nice Peter B. listeners there.
All right. I instruct you all to come out. Your humble host has decreed. Support Jesse at his CD launch party Saturday night, Six Rivers Brewery. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we go to the phones and take your calls. Lines open right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you've never called, it's your turn today. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest and start us off with a problem. Let's see. We're still working on this crash. It is in, let's go over to Hollister, 156 at Flora Avenue. It's a fender bender on the shoulder, and we're going to mention the fact that CHP is on scene and could be traffic actually a little bit slow in the area. Prunedale, Sandy Hill Drive at Vieira, we had an injury crash. This is a pickup truck that hit a tree. We had emergency crews, paramedics, fire department, and CHP all on scene. Also want to take a look at another problem and out of Carmel, Carmel Rancho Boulevard at Rio Road. We have an injury crash between a motorcyclist and a car there. It's blocking lanes. We also have a Carmel Fire Department and paramedics on scene, CHP present as well. Taking a look at northbound and southbound 17, everything looking good there.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 after the hour, the Free Speech Zone.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to talk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G your little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Hey, thanks, Coolio. That's Gangsta's Paradise. Lines are open if you'd like to join me here in the Free Speech Zone today. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You know the number and you know the rules, right? You can call about any subject, offer any point of view, and you can make that call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Dave knows the number. Hey, Dave, how are you today?
Really great, Peter. And I wanted one side thought because I shared virtually everything of your previous very excellent caller. Although it's important that you remain a humble host, so we can't be too glowing all the time, but you do have a state program that really confronts reality where it is.
And I want people to take me on when you think I'm wrong, or if I have bad information, or you simply don't agree with me. I don't believe I have any monopoly on truth or wisdom, and I love to mix it up with people, so don't ever hold back.
Well, I await that moment when I might differ with you on something, Peter, but I think... One thought is that we have here a number of really wonderful, active peace groups, and I would list among the very best the Veterans for Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet the first Thursday of every month, which is today.
Right.
And we meet at 6:30 p.m. at the Marsh Commons in Arcata. That's 101 H Street.
Okay.
And the social, we begin around 6:30. Official meeting begins at 7 p.m. But if you're one who wants to get involved in trying to see what you can do to help save this country, that's one good place to start. And I'd say a lot of our members call themselves associate members. They're not veterans.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to be a part of and support what we're about, and they're certainly welcome to do so.
Well, let's build on this a little bit, Dave. I'm glad you called, and it's today, and there are people who are driving home who may not have important plans this evening and could attend this meeting. And I want to build on what I was discussing with Jake earlier today, because there are plenty of targets to blame. You can blame the president and Dick Cheney and the neocons. You can blame the media, and they richly deserve a lot of blame for the mess that we're in. You can also blame Democrats from Pelosi to Mike Thompson to, virtually anyone you care to name. But we have to accept our own responsibility for speaking out and expressing our deep opposition to the continuation of this war, even, you know, with the benchmarks and the timelines. The $100 billion in there will permit this president to continue killing Americans and Iraqis in Iraq, at least through the end of this year, if not well into next year. And what we need to build is that critical mass of popular opposition. And frankly, it's not there right now, and they know it. That's what emboldens them to pretend that they're voting to end the war while they continue to fund the operations.
Well, we have a number of really good people here that are wanting to be involved and do what they can, and so we're meeting all over the place. I'd say I'm in a half dozen meetings a day from standing in front of our congressman, not a day,
mm-hmm.
a week. But,
well, I particularly want to single out a guy who emailed me yesterday. His name is Al, and his last name begins with B. He's in the Eureka Arcata area. And, Dave, he particularly mentioned you and said that you express views that he fully embraces. And so, Al, if you're not busy tonight, I want you to come out with Dave and the Veterans for Peace. Tell us again, it's at the Marsh Commons?
Marsh Commons, and that's at 101 H Street in Arcata, California. And we sort of have a social half hour from 6:30 to 7, and then the meeting. And we get involved. We do what can be done. We send money to causes. We demonstrate. And all of us have come to an agreement. If there should be anything developed with this plan for Iran, we all head for our courthouse, everybody. And it'll be a very spontaneous gathering of, I suspect, several thousand people here, because invading Iran is a craziness beyond comprehension,
Yeah. And
it's just what they have in mind to do. So,
well, I hope we wake up tomorrow and all we hear and read about is Good Friday services around the world and not the initiation of a military assault on Iran. Thank you, Dave.
I agree. Thank you, Peter.
And a quick comment from an email here. The Cabanis checked in. Tom Cabani was on our program last week. He described how he applied for a mortgage so that he and his family could get into some affordable housing in the Eureka area and was turned down because his credit report was linked to a federal watch list, and because his middle name is Hassan, Tom Cabani was denied that loan. And he spoke out, and we appreciate that. I want you to go to the website, sosnot.com. That's sosnot.com, and you can get more information on what they're doing to raise awareness and keep Big Brother from interfering in the lives of other Americans. Again, that website, SOSNOT, sosnot.com. More coming up, and your calls are welcome. Grab a line right now, and we'll chat after the break. 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
Friday, 7:25 a.m.
I'm calling to register my disappointment in this decision that you made today to put the show on for 2 hours. It's barely listenable for 5 minutes, let alone 2 hours. I don't understand the thinking to take the show over an intelligent and funny informative programs such as Stephanie Miller or any of the other talk shows, I think is a bad decision. You've lost me as a listener. I will now listen online to other stations.
End of messages.
People try to put us to bed. Just because we can get around.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The lines are open for you in the free speech zone right now. 888-5-PETER-B.
Head out on the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes our way, like a true nature's child, we were born to be wild, we can fly so high, I never want to die.
John Kay and Steppenwolf there, hitting the highway. Hope you're having a smooth ride home yourself this evening. Lines are open in the free speech zone right now. Do you know the number? It's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. And speaking of Born to be Wild, we're checking in with Doug Ferrari right now, stand-up comedian, and you can visit his website, DougFerrari.com. He's appearing at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco to benefit April 18th for San Francisco Suicide Prevention with Dana Gould, a very funny man. Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
Great, Peter. Hi, good to hear from you, and to all you great listeners.
Well, great. Can you talk right into that phone? It's a little muddy there.
Okay, yeah. My ever since Singular bought AT&T, they've gone to hell.
Well, that's because, of course, every call is routed through the NSA monitoring switch there in San Francisco.
Yeah, on 6th and Folsom.
That's right.
I had a picture of it on the news.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I want to talk about today are all the wars we've been losing.
Really?
Since Vietnam. Now, we had a war on poverty.
Right.
Failure.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a war on sex. Government, the Bush administration has spent $1 billion of our tax money teaching abstinence-only education. Failure.
Yeah, I've abstained from that, actually.
Yeah. I've got a war on terror that I just read Bush stole from Reagan in 1981. So we've supposedly had a war on terror since 1981. We all know how well that's been working.
Well, and here's a very interesting thing that just occurred today. The Democrats have decided that in official documents like the budgets going forward, they're going to no longer use that term, global war on terror. And the Republicans are offended by this. They love GWAT, and it got them so upset that they sent Dick Cheney into a hostile environment today. He appeared on the Rush Limbaugh show to defend the use of the term global war on terror.
Yeah, well, there is no war on a noun. It's like Gore Vidal says, it's like the war on dandruff.
Yeah, or a global war on knives.
Yeah, and then there's the war on drugs, which they lost years ago. Although I've been doing some research, Peter.
Yeah.
America is 4% of the world's population, and we consume 80% of the legal stimulants in the world, and we import 66% of all illegal drugs in the world. To which I say, we're number one. We're number one. Meanwhile, 1 out of 10 11-year-old boys in America are on Ritalin, which is methylphenidate. Yes, little boys on meth, and you wonder why other people's children are so friggin' annoying in public. They're doped to the eyeballs. And every time I talk, I want to talk to any young people, listening or any parents, tell your kids you don't need to do meth, you don't need to do cocaine, Trivial Pursuit is back. It does the same thing. It makes you stay up all night with people you don't like talking about crap you know nothing about.
And Trivial Pursuit won't send you into a recovery program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, Doug, anything else you got for us today?
Well, basically, I got a little contest I'd like you to do.
All right.
I just found out in my research that the war in Iraq is going to cost us, the taxpayers, $1.2 trillion. And I will give a free CD worth $15 to anybody who sees that in a newspaper or on television. $1.2 trillion.
All right. And so it needs to be, it can't be on the Internet, because there are lefties who will put that information out. But you want to see it in a published newspaper or a broadcast newscast?
Newspaper or any kind of what they call, you know, your normal media.
Mm-hmm.
I will send them a CD.
Okay. And that's a copy of your new CD, The Best of His NSA Wiretaps?
That's right.
Okay. And can people email you at DougFerrari.com to submit?
Yeah, Doug at DougFerrari.com. You can also check out all my new blogs with a lot of political stuff, and also you can buy a CD on the website, too.
Okay, great. I'm going to have to check out your blog. I didn't know you were blogging.
I'm blogging every week now because, you know, I got to get up with the current stuff, you know.
Yeah, all right. Well, Doug, thanks for checking in today.
Thank you, Peter.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Doug at DougFerrari.com. If you want to enter his contest and win $15 or a CD, you need to find the reference to the cost of the Iraq war at $1.2 trillion in a newspaper or on a broadcast news or other program. Doug at DougFerrari.com.
It is useless to resist us.
Moving along here on the Peter B. Collins Show, I'm waiting for you to call in. The phones are a little bit quiet. We understand. This is a week when a lot of kids are out of school. Parents have taken some vacation time. Schedules are different. What that means is if you've never called the program, this is your big opportunity. It'll be a short wait on hold. You call in. Brian asks you what you want to talk about. He won't screen you out for any reason unless you're incoherent or obnoxious. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Well, I referenced a minute ago that Dick Cheney went into that hostile media environment. He called into Rush Limbaugh today. And I don't think he had to give dittos when Rush took his call. But he used the opportunity, as we mentioned, to defend the use of the nonsensical term global war on terror and to bash Democrats for wanting to disuse that term. And he also took the opportunity to attack Nancy Pelosi for her visit to Syria and the meeting with President Bashar al-Assad. And with softball questions coming from Rush, let's see. Rush, a couple of quick more things before you have to go. What's the view today? What's the emotion? What are you thinking about Speaker Pelosi's trip to the Middle East, specifically the conveyance of the incorrect message to Bashar Assad in Syria about peace talks with Israel?
Well, it's not helpful. I made it clear earlier that I thought this was, well, created difficulty, if I can put it in a gentle form. Obviously, she's the Speaker of the House and ought to travel to foreign nations and ought to, Rush interrupts, but she's not entitled to, Vice President, conduct visits, make policy, is she? She's not entitled to make policy, Cheney says. In this particular case, by going to Damascus at this stage, it serves to reinforce, if you will, and reward Bashar Assad for his bad behavior. He's done all kinds of things that are not in the interest of the United States, including allowing Syria to be an area from which attacks are launched against our people inside Iraq. He obviously is heavily involved right now in supporting an effort by Hezbollah to try to topple the government of Lebanon. This is a bad actor, and until he changes his behavior, he should not be rewarded with visits by the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Rush. Well, how much damage has she done by conveying to Assad that Israel is ready for peace talks when Israel is not ready for peace talks as Syria is currently constituted? Cheney.
Well, I think it clearly stimulated a reaction out of the Israelis. Prime Minister Olmert immediately made it clear she was not authorized to make any such offer to Assad. Among other things, of course, the Syrians have not renounced their support for terror. The major terrorist organizations that are dedicated to the destruction of Israel, such as Hamas, are headquartered in Damascus, Syria. This was a non-statement, nonsensical statement, and didn't make any sense at all. Okay, you want to repeat yourself, Dick? And she would suggest those talks could go forward as long as the Syrians conducted themselves as a prime sponsor of terror, state sponsor of terror. So that's very interesting because we hear the vice president using the friendly forum on the Rush Limbaugh show to attack Nancy Pelosi. And you may think, well, gosh, maybe they're right. You know, maybe Pelosi shouldn't be over there. Maybe she did deliver the wrong message. Well, this is a very interesting set of ping-pong issues because Nancy Pelosi says that Israel's message was communicated accurately and has suggested a way to prove it. Her spokesman, Brendan Daly, who I've talked with on several occasions, pointed out that Pelosi was briefed by State Department officials before her meetings with the foreign leaders and that State Department officials attended every one of those meetings. So if Pelosi really committed a foreign policy flub, the State Department is in a position to confirm or deny the assertions of the vice president and others. So this is very interesting because the White House has certainly received a readout of exactly what Pelosi and foreign leaders said in their meetings. And until today, the White House has not openly accused Pelosi of any missteps that the Washington Post has accused her of. So nice little rhetorical exchange between the vice president and the speaker. Of course, he won't talk to her directly. He's really just talking to the base via the Rush Limbaugh show. Now let's go to Dave in Phoenix. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins show.
Yes, Peter. How are you tonight?
Doing okay. Thanks for your call.
Hey,
I miss my Phoenix friends.
With the 10-hour difference between here and Iran, Operation Bite Me goes down in 16 minutes.
Oh, so at 6 o'clock Pacific time. Yeah. Well, we'll be standing by. I hope that the hour passes and there's nothing to report.
Well, it now has two names.
Operation Bite Me?
Yes. We'll see you.
Then it's more credible. Thank you, Dave.
Have a good one.
All right. Dick and Salinas here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I was wondering what you thought about Building 7. And that third plane that went down in the field in Pennsylvania, a friend of mine and I were watching a movie called Loose Change.
Sure.
That, you know, showed everything that went on that day. And,
right. I think that Loose Change is very valuable. I don't think it's perfect. And one of my complaints about Loose Change is that the narrator, I think his name is Corey, doesn't give you the sources for many of the statements that he says. He just flatly says, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And I think the most powerful stuff in Loose Change is the animated sequences that they use to try to come up with a scenario of how a plane hit the Pentagon, because the physical evidence doesn't support that. I also think that their coverage of Flight 93 that reportedly went down in Pennsylvania is a real eye-opener because as we look at that, the coroner found no human remains anywhere in the enlarged crash or debris pattern, the debris fields that reportedly were created by this. And one of the things that I believe is that in order to question the story that we've been told about 9/11, we don't have to have the truth. We don't have to be able to prove what actually happened because we're not in possession of enough of the facts and we don't have access to the people and the reports and documents that we would need to actually prove what did happen. But
yeah,
I would put it this way, that the downing of Flight 93 is most consistent with a plane being shot down, not a plane that was crashed after a struggle between hijackers and passengers and crew.
What if that plane was intended to hit Building 7, and then when it didn't, they were stuck with a building that was loaded with the explosives to bring it down, and they had to bring it down so that nobody could get in there and find that the building was set.
Interesting question. I can't dispute that, and it's the first time I've heard that idea.
Yeah,
so I'll think about it.
That's my friend. He said, "Boy," he says, "that's a smoking gun. That's where that third plane was supposed to go."
Well, it's certainly possible. I would just say that the flight path that they took once they hijacked it is not consistent with attempting to go to New York.
Yeah.
It was more on the way to Washington.
Yeah.
But to your original question, I think that the most glaring inconsistencies relate to Building 7. And the stunning release of a video about 2 months ago is a video of the BBC's live coverage of the New York attacks on September 11th of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And the BBC reporter is doing what's called a stand-up. She's on camera, and in the background behind her, maybe, 10 blocks, a mile away, is the World Trade Center, and you can clearly see Building 7 over her left shoulder as she's mm-hmm. facing the camera.
Yeah.
And despite that, you see her on camera with Building 7 behind her saying that Building 7 has come down. And it was it's reported some 20 or 23 minutes before it actually came down. And so, again, that tape needs to be properly tested and vetted, but there are timestamps on it that indicate that it hasn't been edited and that the times that are reported do conflict with the actual events. And so how did the BBC have a report that Building 7 had come down before Building 7 came down?
I can't
explain it, but it tends to feed the skepticism and ultimately the conspiracy theories that people develop because, as David Ray Griffin has said, we've been fed a conspiracy theory. He's trying to get at the right conspiracy theory.
That's right.
So I got to run to a break here, but I really appreciate your call. Thanks for checking in today.
Okay.
More in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
International use, the American medical profession is finally realizing the great value of essential oils. That's why the FDA has reclassified them as new OTC drugs. You need to protect your right to use this sacred medicine. Native Health Sacred Copal is that protection. Essential oils delivered from a traditional Native American basis. Call 1-866-972-3461 and ask for information on protecting your sacred right to heal.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Let's take a look at traffic and talk a little about what is happening. We're going to cruise on over to, well, CHP tells Rio Del Mar. It looks like northbound 1 at Freedom Boulevard, getting word of a crash there. CHP is already on scene. In fact, looks like two vehicles involved in a crash. Now, one of the vehicles actually went into a ditch, so that's not good news, and they may have to call for the fire department there, but CHP actually traveling to the scene as we speak. Other than that, things looking pretty good. Highway 17, no problems to report there, which is always good news. No major stalls or accidents today about in the Monterey Salinas area as well. Well, we are going to tell you a little bit about some Santa Cruz road work. Northbound 1, the on-ramp to Emmeline, the off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day. Well, this report brought to you by Standard Pacific Homes.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We've reconnected with a listener in Hawaii. Aloha, B. David. He checks in. He says, I missed your show. He used to stream it out of KPHX in Phoenix. And today I decided I couldn't stand it anymore. And I investigated what other programs can handle streaming of real player format. Guess what? Music Match supports it, and I'm listening to you right now. Well, thanks, B. David. I'm glad you found us, and we are working to expand our streaming capabilities, and I'm sorry to report it's been a little slower than I thought, but we're talking with some folks with a very robust bandwidth, and hope to have that in place in the next week or two, and we will certainly let you know when we have been able to achieve that. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to check in here in the Free Speech Zone on the PBC show. Will Santa Cruz, you're next.
Yeah. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm holding up okay.
Well, I want to thank you so much for such a great show. I've really been enjoying it since I've moved here and discovered you. It's been fantastic.
Well, cool. Where'd you move from?
From near Sequoia National Park, there southeast of Fresno, California.
Uh-huh. Great.
So, yeah. Hey, I wanted to weigh in on this. The global warming conversation just for a brief moment.
Okay.
I used to do environmental research for the United States Geological Survey, and, you know, amongst many of us researchers, we have another name for it, and actually we call it global weirding. And I think the terminology would be better used that way because I think it's manifesting itself more so in very different extreme ways, you know, the increased frequency of hurricanes, increased drought occurring in the southwest, rain patterns following at different times than they used to, and so forth. I mean, global warming on a planetary level is occurring, but I think it allows for the more conservative folks to more lean towards, well, you know, cycles come and go, and that is true. But the fact that things are getting weird environmentally is something that I think is, if it was brought out more, could be less used against the discussion as far as our, you know, contribution to the situation.
Well, I think that's an interesting idea, Will, and I have another one. If we were to pass legislation that prevents ExxonMobil from funding phony science and intentional confusion through the Competitive Enterprise Institute and other front groups, we'd be a lot better off, although I'm not serious about that proposal because I believe they have free speech rights like everybody else. Yeah. My point is that we do have people doing a profound disservice to our nation and, I guess, willing deniers around the world who want to listen to this hoo-ha. And I recently broke down, and for the first time, we permitted one of these goons on the show, a guy named Myron Ebell from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He is, you know, listed as their expert on global warming and climate change. And when I asked him what his credentials were, he said, oh, I've been following this for a few years.
Right.
And he has no science background, and he's a BS artist.
Right.
And he hasn't even seen Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of those armchair, you know, experts that are out there chipping in and staying their 2 cents worth. But for those of us that actually have been on the ground and done the research and experienced it firsthand, you know, the evidence is all, it's concluded, you know, all the things that Gore's presented and so forth, which has been such a great thing to see as far as you know, my experience and my morale towards, you know, wanting to fight the good fight and so forth. It's really great to see that contribution.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you so much for the great job you're doing.
All right.
You're doing a wonderful thing for
and
us.
Keep it weird, will you?
Will do.
All right, Will. Thank you. Will as a verb. Will used his own name as a verb. I think that's special. Brian in Manchester, welcome. How are you?
Hi, how are you? What do you think of, again, he sneakily points this guy Fox from the Swiftboat Liars as the new ambassador to Belgium.
Yeah, I feel for the Belgians.
I do, too. I went back over some 2004 campaign story about the Swiftboat veterans, a New York Times story from August 23rd.
Right.
August 20th, 2004. It's a great write-up there by Kate Czernecki and Jim Rutenberg, and it talks about these liars, these phony Swiftboat veterans, this guy named William Schottky who claimed to be on a boat that he never was on the boat, and the two other guys, Mr. Zeladonis and Mr. Runyon, say they cannot recall a third crew member. We can count to three because it was them and John Kerry on the boat at that date.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on from there that the whole layer of lies upon lies that just Kerry leaped 10 feet in front of him was a Viet Cong soldier, and he leaped out of the boat and chased him through into a small village there and killed him. And now the Swiftboat veterans tried to say this was a teenager, but all the local villagers then that were interviewed there, they said no. They knew that this guy was a Viet Cong and he was a man. He was a 26, 27 year old grown man. He wasn't a teenager. Mr. Kerry seized the B-40 rocket launcher from his hands, and this is apparently, it is from what I understand from he was starting to aim it at their boat, and Kerry got a rocket launcher and aimed right at his face 10 feet away. He leaps out of the boat at the man doing that.
Well, clearly, that's not an act of heroism or a profile in courage, and he's not qualified to be president. Thank you, Brian. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll be back at you tomorrow for a Good Friday edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Join me then, same time, same stations.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It was chaos today at a bank in Reddington, New Jersey, as three suspected bank robbers pulled up and the FBI swooped down on them.
We didn't really know what was going on. The police didn't tell us anything. We're just locked up inside the bank.
Customer Josh Bavosa says everyone was herded into one room.
We saw some FBI agents and SWAT team members going into the woods chasing after people, apparently. And then we saw the police pull some people out of the white car.
That was the suspect's vehicle. Two young men were arrested. A third escaped, and despite a massive search effort, he's still at large. Confusion may have contributed to an FBI agent's death. The FBI is investigating, but says preliminary information suggests Special Agent Barry Lee Bush was fatally wounded by the accidental discharge of another agent's weapon. He was 52. Electronic stability control, which reacts faster than a driver can, has worked so well in SUVs that the government's decided to require it in all cars and trucks. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has the story from the big car show in New York.
Will you let the secretary get in?
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters checking out a Saturn View SUV here at the New York Auto Show, a vehicle now less prone to rollovers because it has stability control. Under the new rules, by the 2012 model year, all vehicles will need to have this technology.
What this means for consumers in the auto industry is that vehicles are even safer today than they have been.
By some estimates, these new rules could save thousands of lives each year. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, New York.
Investor Kirk Kerkorian, who claims he was cheated when Daimler-Benz took over Chrysler, is offering $4.5 billion now that the German company wants to sell Chrysler off.
It's a serious offer, but $4.5 billion is still pretty low. That's actually a pretty sweet deal if you can get it.
Auto industry analyst Eric Merkel. Back in 1995, Kerkorian offered $22.8 billion in an unsuccessful takeover bid. Despite all the talk of Iranian hospitality, there may have been a dark side to the captivity of those 15 British sailors. After they were reunited with their families today at a base in southwest England, Sky News reporter Dan McClure says word came out that some captives were held in solitary.
The commander here at the base has said that various times some members of the group were kept on their own. That was as far as...